Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help.
Time
for
our get late. Your chance to get to the listener appreciation party. We're going to give away tickets at 6, Destination 2026. Flynn Davis, I believe, hosts that. That is a preview of the World Cup that's coming to the city of Houston, of course, the United States as well. Also, on the app, if you're signed in and have the app, you can enter to win there as well. All right, let's get to this. So here's what we're going to do. Sean's going to play all the things he uses to close out the show in no particular order. If you can identify the correct one, the first one that we ever played.
What was the original one?
And you can tell us who's in it.
And who is in it.
Then you win the tickets. So you've had to have listened to this show at some point, not just taken me telling you on the John Lance show that this was going to happen. You've had to have listened. So, Sean, start playing the Sounders.
Duval.
Oh, he dope.
That peanut butter skin.
We did it!
Door. You want my dead mom's clothes?
Still my favorite.
Shred up, Stroud!
Flip me over, Mike.
That. Okay.
That's all.
Someone just hung up. Either they knew they had no chance or their phone disconnected. If you want to get in, because there's no guarantee that the three guys on hold will get it. Now's your chance. So, I'm going to do it at random. I'm going to go with caller 2, which is Jeff. Jeff, can you tell us what was the first Sounder and who's in it?
No clue.
All right, Jeff, see ya. Said you've had to have listened. Let's go with... Okay, Sean's answering the phone, so I'll give him a little time once he gets the next guy on hold, or lady on hold, I'll give you a shot. Let's go with Ken. Ken, do you know what the Sounder is, the first one, and who's in it?
No idea, man.
Oh, well, I told you this could happen where no one knows and they don't win. Look, we're going to keep going at least for this segment as long as people keep calling, and if you don't know, then eventually we'll just do something at random. All right, let's go with Lawrence. Lawrence, you're next up. Lawrence, do you know what our first Sounder was to close out shows and who's in it?
It's the new Jacksonville coach.
It is not Liam Cohen, so that does remove, and who, for people who don't know what that is, it's the Duval. Sorry. Nice guess. Thank you for actually knowing one of them, but sorry, that's not the one. So we'll keep going with this, and Sean's in a... He's in a bit of a way because we don't have an intern today.
I know which one. Daniel. We'll go to Daniel.
Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, do you know what the first Sounder ever was and who's in it?
The Duval. That's the first Sounder, correct?
No, that was what Lawrence just said. You know what? We've gone through almost two full boards. We might have to just limit them to like 4. That might be what we have to do. There's maybe too many. Let's get to the next caller, whoever that is, Sean.
Yeah, I forgot. Just start talking.
All
if
right.
You're on hold, just start talking.
Whoever you are.
Hello.
Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. Do you know the first Sounder and who's in it?
Yeah, we did it. It's Kevin Garnett.
Ooh. Close. You're halfway there, sir. You have to know who's in it and and what the sounder was. So you identified the sounder. I'll give you one more chance since you actually identified the sounder, and this could go on forever. So
yes.
Pick another player. Who do you, who? It's a recent champion.
Oh, is his name Kevin?
His name is not Kevin. You tried that. Sorry. All right. Since he identified the correct sounder, play it again, Sean.
We did it!
Which none of y'all have done so far.
Yeah, no one else had done. Yes, very well played by you. All right, so you know what the sounder is. Can you tell me who's in it? We've made fun of this player pretty much throughout the entirety of the show, which is now going on like a year and a half now. All right, let's go to the next caller, whoever it is. If you feel like you
Hello?
Just go ahead. Do you know who's in the sounder?
It's Jason Tatum from the Celtics.
There it is. We have our winner. Congratulations,
sir. Stay on hold.
Stay on
hold. Please. I'll get your information.
Yeah, don't hang up. All right, we got a winner. There it is. Jason Tatum, the We Did It. He pulled it right after they beat the Mavs at home. It was or was it on the road? I don't remember. Not that it matters. It was very much him trying to duplicate what Kevin Garnett did. So we had someone mention Kevin Garnett, Celtic. Right scenario, wrong Celtic, and like 16 years too early. But there it is. We have our winner of the listener appreciation tickets. And as I said, if you didn't win with us, we're going to give away tickets at some point on ESPN 97.5 tomorrow and on Friday. And also, we're doing it on the app as well. So if you're listening on the app, you probably have already seen it. But if you haven't and you haven't downloaded our app yet, download that right now and you should be able to sign in. And if you do, if you haven't signed up already for it, you're going to be able to enter to win. So that's going on. Yep, right. I'm looking at the app right now, and the enter to win banner is there for you. So you can take advantage of that, and you won't even have to work like you did with us. You'll be picked at random. A couple people will continue to get you more chances to win those tickets. So thank you for everyone who tuned in. Appreciate our winner. And there was a real possibility that no one would get it. I'm glad we did have someone get it. So that was fun. All right. As Sean is getting the winner's name, we'll go to break here. Now we'll open up the phone lines to anything else you guys want to talk about.
Congratulations, Gary.
Gary.
See you at the listener party.
Yeah, congratulations, Gary. That listener party is at St. Arnold's on September 5th, which is a Friday, from 6:30 to 9:30. But coming up here on Friday, this Friday, the guys are going to be out at Brick House Tavern and Tap. It'll be an humble. We're always trying to give you guys something to win. If you go on out there, meet the guys, Paul Gallant and Killer Bees, and you sign up at the promo table, you have your chance to win our grand prize of the summer, which is a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. $4,000 value. So we're giving you a pretty nice prize. And if you like bike riding, now you have a bike of your own and a bike to give to whoever you want to ride bikes with. So that's fun. And of course, tomorrow is the last opportunity to get in on the Fantasy Football League that we're going to begin at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. So it'll be myself, Sean, Lance, and Granado all in Lake Charles and maybe with you at the Golden Nugget for our draft. That draft is August 28th. You're going to get a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget, $200 food and beverage credit, and dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook. So all you got to do is listen tomorrow to the John and Lance Show for your opportunity. We got one more spot available. It'll be you and someone of your choosing, if you win, that will join us as part of that 12-person league. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll move on from giving away stuff, although that never really ends on this show, or the entire station. So we'll do that. And then we will get to some Rocket stuff I want to talk about, because this isn't surprising, and I wonder how much the Rockets will lean into it. There is a question about how much Kevin Durant's going to play this year, and with his age and his importance for the playoffs, this is not a surprising suggestion. I wonder how fully in on this the Rockets will be. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The day.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So, lost in all of the giveaway stuff is a call we had earlier from Eric where he said something. He said a lot of things, but all we really focused on, oddly enough, was the sports aspect of his call. And then it turned into nonsense about what number Jaden Blue should wear. So
Not nonsense. It's just...
You're suggesting they cut players just to get him his number. It's kind of nonsensical.
I was at least looking at guys that are like third on the ESPN depth chart.
Who had cool numbers that you'd rather have him wear than the number 34. Forget about their careers and what they're trying to do to feed their family, Sean.
I mean, you could swap jerseys. I don't care.
They don't have to get cut. Just take the jersey away from them. All right. So we now getting clarification from, I guess, one of Eric's friends or someone who heard it more clearly than we did. Michelle has called in to give us some clarification about what Eric talked about. Oh, she just hung up. So there it is. We're never getting clarification, I guess. And Eric called in himself, but we just forgot because we had other things to do.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, what
I
did just, he call in
I
about?
I just was more interested in the Jaden Blue stuff.
Yes. What was his clarification?
Oh, now I forgot.
Oh. What is this?
I want to say three-eyed Atlas, but that kind of sounds like the three-eyed Raven, so that might be where I'm...
Three-eyed Atlas. Yeah, three-eyed Atlas is a thing.
Okay.
It is a comet. I thought it might have been a comet. It sounded like he was talking about a comet, and his suggestion was because of its change in speeds, that was it a spaceship?
Oh, that's the... Yeah, I know the story.
Yeah, what's the story for everyone?
Basically a... there is this large comet that is hurling towards Earth. Mm-hmm. And one Harvard scientist, I will not call him a quack, but one Harvard scientist and a sea of scientists saying that it's an asteroid.
He is saying something else?
He's saying that's a alien spaceship with hostile intent.
What is he using for his reasoning?
That requires me to like read the article and... really get into the nitty gritty of this.
And you refuse.
I'd rather call him a quack and keep it moving.
Yeah, instead of actually doing the research. Yeah, using the word quack is fun. I will give you that.
I don't get a lot of opportunity to use it. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could use it for the Astros, but.
They're doctors.
Yeah.
You may have actually said that.
I might have.
Yeah, about their doctors. And hopefully those quacks, alleged quacks at least, according to Sean
they
Mates.
They seem to exhibit the qualities of quacks.
They have quackish qualities. Whatever they're doing over there, hopefully they have diagnosed Josh Hader with something that isn't season ending, which has nothing to do with them. It's just what the injury is.
But if it's season ending, just tell us.
Don't be right about it instead of stretching this thing out. Let's give him a couple start or a couple of outings down in Sugarland and see what's up.
By the way, there's already the... He's seeing other, he's getting other opinions on it.
I would say that's smart from Josh Hader, seeing how everything else has gone since he's been here. Go see other people and see what they have to say. So, okay, there's a comet. It could be something with ill intent that's going to disrupt our way of life. According to the non-quacks, it is something that will pass by Earth, nowhere near pose a threat, and we're going to be fine, according to non-quacks.
Okay. I wasn't sure about the path of it. I think if it was like direct hit towards Earth, we'd hear about it more often.
I've seen deep impact.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I saw deep impact, and they weren't going to warn us in enough time. They were trying to keep it a secret until the great Teo Leone
set him straight.
Kind of fell into the news.
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman, the president, had to actually inform her because she thought he either was sick or cheating on his wife. Turns out there was an asteroid, because they called the asteroid or comet Ellie, because it's an acronym for something scientific or whatever. And she thought it meant the president may have had a young thing on the side.
that was of the time of Deep Impact.
And considering Morgan Freeman's actual history.
Oh, okay. I was worried that we're going to have to wrangle up some oil drillers, because... it's easier to teach oil drillers to be astronauts than astronauts to be oil drillers.
I don't believe that's true. I know that they said that in that movie, but I still think that's nonsense. I think it's clearly the other way around.
Send up both. It's the fate of the Earth. You can just send up as many people as it takes.
No. Only have a couple spaceships to send up there. Sorry, in a limited amount of time. Because
Bruce Willis in that movie, you're NASA. What? Isn't this all you do?
Now I'm confused. Was Elijah Wood in Armageddon or Deep Impact?
He was not in Armageddon.
He discovered he discovered the asteroid, I think, in Deep Impact.
Deep Impact, yes. Yeah. Armageddon knows some old couple that fought all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Either way, it doesn't look like that's going to happen to us. We're not
going to. I hope not.
Yeah, it's.
Because Armageddon, it almost was Armageddon for us. Actually, like, they blew it up so late that, like, pieces of asteroids still hit Earth and, like.
Deep Impact the same way.
Really effed things up.
Like, Taya Leone died in that movie at the very end because she had a bad relationship with her dad, and she thought she might be able to get on one of those arcs to save her, and then she realized. My dad's alone. I forgot how it turned out. I don't know if her mom got on the arc or she couldn't, whatever. But I just remember her hugging her dad like Jyn Erso and Andor did at the end of Rogue One. They did the same thing, except it was her old dad who was kind of a cheater. And that's the end of – that's the story of Deep Impact. Ted Leone informed the world and then died for her work. I did want to get to this before – we wrap it up. There's no real transition away from
speaking
the
deep- of rockets.
No. Man, yeah. Is Kevin Durant, is it easier
Bruce
to,
Willis died on a rocket?
Is it easier to teach a basketball player to be an oil driller or an oil driller to be a basketball player?
I think oil driller basketball player.
I would say so. Kevin Durant, your big acquisition. And I'm reading a story and I'm not sure if the validity is something I can believe in, because it pretty much said the thought is that the Rockets are going to minimize the number of back-to-backs, and if he has to play 3 games in 5 nights or something like that, or 4 nights, they're going to maybe not put him through that. Didn't say sources tell me. It's from Sports Illustrated. Every one of these teams has kind of like a Sports Illustrated site.
Like a team page.
And a writer writes stuff for them. So I'm reading this, and I'm not sure that this is something the Rockets have put out there or this guy got word. But Sports Illustrated, which once was a very valued publication, has taken a hit in the last 15 years or so. The writer's saying that there is a chance that the Rockets will find ways to minimize Kevin Durant's games because – they want to keep him healthy. Now, the thought makes some sense. I don't know if this is the Rockets' plan. I know when Rafael Stone was asked about this particular topic, the indication from him was at least that they were going to try to play Kevin Durant as many games as possible. They weren't looking to be a load management team, although we know they've done that. They did it with Steven Adams. They did it with Tari Eason. And would probably make some sense to do it with Kevin Durant. While they're not as deep as they once were because they had to make moves, particularly guys who are frontline guys, like, you know, Dylan Brooks is gone, Jalen Green is gone, but they did bring in DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith. They have also Clint Capella to probably be someone who helps to load manage Steven Adams.
I completely forgot that Clint Capella was back on this team. Yeah, I'll be honest, I completely forgot.
It was one of those moves no one actually kind of understood at the time because they already had Steven Adams, who was such an impactful player in the playoffs, and of course, Şengün. And, you know, then you saw, and I think they had Lando at the time, but of course he's gone now. But the thought was, why are you paying Capella to be your third center? But if the plan is to alternate those guys on nights where there are back-to-backs.
Yeah. You're playing two of the three.
Yeah, it makes some sense. So we will see how that rotation works out. But the Kevin Durant thing, beyond whether the writer is right or wrong about what he thinks is going to happen, or maybe he was told something from someone who would know. If he tops out at 65 games, that's fine. I mean,
yeah.
Now you are taking away a guy who played a lot of games, but the Jalen Green durability thing is fine for the regular season. But then the playoffs pop up, and he's someone you couldn't depend on. So if
it's also in those 82 games. How many of them would you say he was like effective and helping the team?
We know the extremes of his time here, where it would all average out to be.
There's
about 21.
17 games where you're like, you know, I could have lived without this 3 for 15.
And there are 17 games where he felt like the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So you would have the average to be about 21 points per game. He upped his three-point percentage to 35% or so this year. But the shooting percentage is always around 43%. And there's not a lot of playmaking. So, yeah, he played 82 games, but as you pointed out, how effective was he? I mean, it's great to have the body and to be able to depend on, but there are some times where you'd rather have him not play just because of how bad he was shooting the basketball. So Kevin Durant plays himself 65 games or so, gets himself into a spot where he's healthy for the postseason. It's fine. The Rockets should probably have that as part of the calculus when they're finding out what this team's going to be. You shouldn't put him in a situation where he's playing 75 games. There's really no reason to. Your team is going to win a lot of games because they just play harder. They're going to D people up. They're going to make life miserable for everyone. And you can probably win 10 out of every 15 games in the NBA doing that just because you play harder than people. And then, of course, you add in their level of talent and what Ime provides. I think if he's on a pitch count, they can still win themselves 50-plus games and probably do it pretty easily because of the impact he'll have in the 65 games or so he does play. If this suggestion is actually real,
I don't think it's a giant leap.
No, it's not. I just don't know the basis for it other than it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can find that if you just type in Rockets and SI, that article will come up and see what Kevin Durant actually will be as a Rocket. That's not something you can find from the article. You'll find that out later in the, as we get closer and closer to the season, which is still a bit away. Sure, football season will start, but training camps are less than a month away or so, maybe right around a month. And then you've got the regular season, the preseason, then regular season. And we know the Rockets are opening up against the OKC Thunder in Oklahoma City on ring night. So we'll see Kevin Durant and one of his old stops. All right, Candy, I see you. You want to explain this 3-Eye Atlas thing. So Candy has been a name that people, and by people I mean women that I don't know exactly what they do for a living. Those women have hung out with Eric in the past, and one of the names was Candy. Candy, you can tell me if you don't know Eric, but I remember you from past calls, and I think you do know Eric. Hello, Candy.
Hi, guys. I plead the fifth.
Okay.
I heard 3-Eye Atlas also might be an alien spaceship and not a comet because comets have tails. I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, it could be a spaceship. There's no real way to know.
Well, don't they have eyes on this thing?
Like a Doppler, or whatever the thing's called. Not Doppler, but the deep space camera that they have.
How much can they glean is now?
I see the pictures. Where it is now. They look like blurry messes to me.
Yeah, so maybe they can't tell. They're only judging by the movement of the comet.
What if this is, I mean, we're talking about an intelligent alien life form here. What if they're like, what if we just make our ships look like comets? Then they don't know.
To fool the dumb humans?
Yeah.
And maybe the quack. Look, in these
they're
movies.
They're doing deep space travel,
right? In these movies, the quack is always right.
Yeah.
Quack is the one who gets it right because he's thinking in ways that the normal scientists aren't thinking.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum is right.
So if I go by all the alien invasion movies I've ever seen, the guy you call a quack is the one we should be actually listening to.
Yeah.
It happens in the disaster movies too. The guy who's in his trailer on the mountain on some hill.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, Brian Tyree Henry from the Godzilla movies.
That particular phrase, I'm telling you, man. Even it's usually followed by crap. But in these movies, that guy's right all the time. So we will see. If that doctor you're talking about started with, I'm telling you, man, that's an alien spaceship, I think I should believe him.
I'm telling you, man. He has a bunch of papers that he's holding up. I'm telling you, slap. It's right here.
And if he says the government every couple sentences, then
they don't want to tell us.
Then it's maybe something we should take a look at.
They don't want us panicking. They want us out there going to Walmart. They want us out there.
Look, guys.
Spending money at the ball
game. If you're listening to a podcast and the guy calls you a sheep, pay attention.
Well, you're not the sheep because you're listening to the podcast.
Yes.
Other people.
That's right. If he calls everyone else sheep, then maybe you're on the right track in deciphering what the government's
just
hiding
open
from
your
us.
Eyes.
That's right. Open your eyes. It's right in front of you. They're just don't let them pull the wool over your eyes. All right, I'll go to break with that. Sean, you and I are both big college football fans. A lot of you guys are out there are. And the one thing that gives a fan base hope is when they hear that the coach who's very disappointing is about to get fired. First, it's the coordinators. That's what the coach will lead
OC
on.
OC or DC always.
Yeah, but and then that tricks you into thinking, hey, He made a move.
Now things are going to be different.
But then you see that the rot goes deeper, and now it's time for the coach to get fired. So we are aware of the hope that the coach being fired gives to a fan base. Considering how the Twins handled this season and the hope that it kind of brought to the Twins fan base, and now they've ripped it away, I did want to talk about the things that kind of elicit blind hope from fan bases when things are going bad. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So, the Twins, which were for sale for a good long while, which led to them selling off players, including Carlos Correa. It's one of the reasons he's an Astro. The other reason is he had a no-trade clause, and he would only waive it for the Astros, and he's been good in his return. Let's see if he and the Astros can get a win tonight and win the series against the Red Sox. But the hope for the Twins fans was, okay, we're not spending money. We were excited about this team back in 2022. Things have gone downhill since, really since the Astros took them out in that series. But, hey, at least we're going to get new owners, and maybe they'll spend now. That hope has been wiped away. The owners are now looking for investors, and they give out one of those statements like, we've always been interested in the well-being of the Twins, and we're fully invested, and so on and so forth, but we need money is pretty much what they're looking for. So where would you rank new ownership as compared to, like, a new coach in any sport? Because the new ownership thing really plays a part in soccer on the international level, because there have been teams like Newcastle where they had a long history of success, and then they get bad ownership, club goes downhill, they get new owners who want to spend foreign money. You can take your guesses about that.
I think that's the
best. And now there's an injection of money, and now the team is back, the club is back, the fans are back because they're spending money on a level where they can compete.
I think number one is the Saudi wealth fund. The being Newcastle, being Manchester
City, yeah.
Like, that's the bet where it's like, oh, now we just can spend more than
everyone else.
Man United.
Almost everyone else, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we spend more, we'll win more, and everything will be good.
Yeah, so I think that's the best, because that is the most, like...
most impactful.
Just add water, and all of a sudden you're one of the best teams in the sport.
You'll likely not only just buy players, and if you don't know, that's what it's called, for people who aren't locked in on soccer. They just say, hey, we're going to buy this player, we're going to buy that player. And then you get a great coach, hopefully. Yep. And now
get a system in place.
It can go from, man, we were close to being relegated to being one of the best teams in a league because money kind of cures all. It works different over here because there's some competitive balance. There's a draft. There's a push.
Salary cap.
A push to mediocre, or not mediocrity, parity. But parity. So it's a little different. That parody stuff on across the pond, I don't care about that parody stuff. Yeah, we'll relegate you today.
Yeah,
if you aren't good enough.
Later, Everton.
Yeah. So I would agree. Foreign / Saudi money overseas.
I don't want to limit just to Saudi.
Yeah, so I said foreign, but yeah. / Saudi / Qatar, whatever. However you
Russian
want to pronounce
oligarch.
That. Yeah, Chelsea. Roman Abramovich.
Yeah.
Turn Chelsea into a big power.
That's
the best as far as, okay, we're back in the game. Over here, though, well, new ownership can change things. Like in Washington, they got rid of Daniel Snyder, Josh Harris, who also owns the Phillies.
76ers.
Yeah, the 76ers.
Has not gone well.
He owns the 76ers. You can imagine Philly people, because the Commanders are in the division with the football team in that town, aren't all that thrilled that Josh Harris owns the Commanders. But, hey, you throw in the fact that the Sixers are disappointing, it all comes together to say, come on, man. But you got to believe the Commander fans are thrilled about the changes. They got serious about the team, and they draft the right quarterback, which also plays a part in this conversation. So I would ask you, in the NFL, the drafting or the hopes of drafting a quarterback, forget about just getting a good one. The hopes of drafting a young quarterback supersede new ownership, I think. Like, if you are, if you had the number one overall pick in a year where the quarterback's supposed to be good,
yeah,
that means more than, yeah, oh, we got a new owner.
I think they're close, but yeah, I think being able to be like, hey, it's been a tough year being a Tennessee Titans fan. Oh my God, Will Levis. I can't believe he threw that interception that every game. Oh, now we get Cam Ward. Let me see some Cam Ward highlights. And it's a very easy, especially like right now. It's the right now is the best. From the day of the draft to now is the best time to have a rookie quarterback. So yeah, I think rookie quarterback is a little bit higher than new ownership in the NFL.
Yeah, I would agree. You can throw in,
I think, new coach, offensive coordinator, like the next two down.
Yeah, new ownership. You would, like, if you are the fan of a team who sucks, of course you want a new owner. But if you're like, we had Kyle McNair here.
Yeah, and I think it does depend on the owner, though. Like how bad the owner is.
Like, Cal McNair and the McNairs didn't have the reputation of being bad for fans. The team was just bad.
Yeah.
So that was going to supersede all. But they weren't looked at as bad people. It was just, hey, the team sucks. You made some bad hires.
They seem incompetent.
Yes. But you wind up drafting C.J. Stroud. And leading into that draft, the incompetence was, at least the belief was, at an all-time high. Because even when you're bad, you couldn't do it right. Because you had Lovie Smith on staff, and he decided to win a game he shouldn't have won, according to people.
Yeah.
So, into the 2023 draft, you did hire DeMeco Ryans, would help. That was the first step. And then you draft CJ, and of course Will Anderson, and things have turned for yes, the positive. So I think the drafting of a quarterback is always bigger. As long as your owner isn't an a-hole, he's just bad at his job, and then he somehow finds a way.
Like, decades old, terrible. That, I think that super owner supersedes quarterback, like Jimmy Haslam. It's like,
true.
If you sat down a Browns fan, it's like, would you rather have Garrett Nussmeier? The idea of drafting Garrett Nussmeier.
It's also Nussmeier, though.
Or a new
quarterback. You can't, that's not fair. Okay. You can't use Nussmeier.
A new, the Arch number Manning one pick in the draft.
Years. Arch Manning in 2 years or Haslam being gone. What do you think they say?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so you'd actually have to have a guy people believe is really going to be a changing agent. So, yeah.
Maybe Drew Aller.
You can't, that's unfair for me.
Pick.
It's for me, I would rather have Haslam than have Drew Aller. But maybe the Browns fans will feel differently.
Yeah. So I think the NFL, that's the case.
Yeah, basketball, it always depends on who the draft pick is. Like, they still have their ownership and Nico Harrison, who traded away, and the ownership was fine with it, and Nico Harrison made the trade. And then you draft Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
But there's all, as generational as he's supposed to be, who thinks he's going to be better than Luka? So there's the thing.
Yeah.
So you that one is more, hey, how come the ownership didn't just step in and go, no, we're not making this trade?
Yeah.
You would want your ownership to be smart enough to know this is a bad decision. Even with the kind of the life raft of Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg, will he be 80% of what Luka is? You know, I'll tell you how I feel. No.
Yeah, probably not.
So it's still a loss.
I mean, Luka made like, what, 5 All-NBA teams like in the first 6 years?
Yeah.
This is something ridiculous.
So so whatever happens there, hopefully for the Rockets' sake, Cooper Flagg is, I don't know, more.
Bomb.
Who was the Cleveland draft pick? Who? Anthony Bennett. Hopefully he's more Anthony Bennett than he is Luka or Luka incarnate. So, yeah, ownership. If they're mid, I'd rather have the number one overall pick. But if they're awful, then sure, get the guy out of here. Because you're never going to win with that owner.
Yeah. I mean, although, I guess it's like such an edge case. Because it's like LeBron wants a Dan Gilbert. But
well, LeBron
he's also LeBron.
He's
and he also left.
At worst, the second best player of all time.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that being the extreme case of like they had, like 12 years. No, probably less than 12. But they had, like 12 years with LeBron. One title. And a lot of years where they could have if they weren't complete morons.
True. So even even LeBron, sometimes you can't overcome.
Like, he wouldn't have left if they weren't complete morons.
Yeah. And if he wasn't born in Akron, he wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So maybe, even with generational talent, a real generational talent, your ownership matters more.
Yeah.
In some cases. I think in college football, you're not the AD. Sure, you'd love an AD to hire good coaches all the time,
it
but just
helps.
Just get yourself a, the coach matters more than anything else.
Oh, see, I was gonna go. The money matters the most.
Okay,
of all.
Okay, yeah, true. But the money,
give me Cody Campbell. Give me the Texas Tech booster.
But the money has to believe in the coach. Like,
yes,
if the money doesn't believe or didn't have a say in the coach, then the money disappears.
Yeah, I what I'm thinking is the like money cannon of like either a booster who is like always gonna donate or
that's true
5-10 boosters that are all these kind of level like that Texas and A&M have where it's just like money on top of money where it's like that is like the starting point. Yeah. Then I want a good AD and a good coach then a good AD.
Yeah, there are some programs who no matter who the coach is, the money will be there. They're just waiting to be given a reason to give money. He mentioned Texas. Of course, Oregon has their money man and his one guy in Phil Knight. And as long as they're willing to take his money, I'm sure he'll have some input here and there. He'll continue to give it.
Yeah, like the Oregon's a good example because it's, what, been four coaches that they've had decent success with?
Yeah.
Chip, Helfrich, Mario. And
Taggart, not so much. Did he coach a year?
Taggart did 1 year, yeah, or maybe two.
And then he went to Florida State.
Yes, and then did 2 years there.
Yeah.
And then now Dan Lanning. So like that's where it's like I rather have Phil Knight and then figure out the coach than vice versa.
Because the coaches know, as you said, how important the money is, and they're not going to go a place if they're a coach of that status where the money won't back them to win. Investment matters. So I think you're right. Now that I think about it, if the money is available, I'll take the money because the money will lead to the coach
yeah.
and everything else.
And then, like, name an Oregon athletic director. Like,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, who knows? Who
and they have they have good athletics. I mean, yeah. beyond football, but it doesn't matter because Phil Knight.
But
Phil
it
Knight's
helps
there.
That Nike pays for everyone.
Yeah,
all of
it. It helps. That helps. It's the driving force of why they've been good in athletics across the board. Daniel, we see you. And we'll get to you when we come back. Speaking of all that stuff, as far as the money is concerned, Kansas has a new beneficiary, or maybe not new, but they just got a $300 million gift from a booster. I think his last name is Booth. It's supposed to be the largest single gift in history when it comes to that type of thing.
He better be loaded, or else if I'm his son, I'm like, what the hell?
David Booth gave Kansas $300 million. Some of it's going to be allocated, $75 million of it will be allocated towards launching the second phase of their construction of their stadium. They've done some renovations there. More money's going to go to that. But I don't know what he does for a living.
That's real money.
But just hand it over. And he's already given money to them. He just handed over another $300 million.
I will say stadium upgrades, low on my list of priorities.
Yeah, hey, for doling out $300 million. How about using, let's say, I know there's some rules now, but we can skirt them. How about, you know, donating about $20 million of it to the hotbed of recruiting that is, name a place, California, Texas, Florida. How about we dump money into those areas for Kansas football as opposed to the stadium?
I need like $2 million for four basketball players each. I need $8 million. 10. Let's round it up. I need 10 for a roster for Bill Self.
You know, is he still there? Lance Leopold, is he there?
Yeah, Lance Leopold.
He's still there. Hey, you know, there's this, not to hit a sore spot. Hey, there's this kid that's going to go to the Houston, 5-star quarterback. You want to?
How much does he love Houston, really?
Yeah. I think he'd love Lawrence for a certain price. But, of course, we hope Henderson stays with the Cougs and Willie Fritz. But if I was Leipold, appreciate it, man. But, you know, there are other ways. I'm
sure
you
shut down your recruiting. I still call you.
Yeah.
still ask.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, you want to talk about the Premier League, which we mentioned as one of the places where new ownership can mean a whole hell of a lot. We'll talk to you, Daniel, and anyone else when we come back.
ESPN.
97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Daniel before we go. He wants to talk Premier League. What's up, Daniel?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, my name is Travis.
Okay, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Travis.
First of all, I'm a first-time caller, so thanks for taking the call. Also, I appreciate you guys for talking about the Premier League and European soccer. I'm a longtime Arsenal fan, so if you know anything, you can probably feel my pain. But I just wanted to say I think that having a good coach definitely matters more than the money. It's been shown countless times in the Premier League, like with Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea. They spent, $1 billion or whatever on players, and because he was such a poor coach, like, there's no results. Whereas with, like, Mikel Arteta at Arsenal, we've been second place 3 years in a row in the Prem, which is not, desirable by any means. But he's really not spent that much money, but because of his tactics, I mean, we've been able to play so highly and be in the Champions League. And then with Luis Enrique at PSG, their team, if you put it all together, there's not really, I mean, Désiré Doué is like he's a young player that came up through the academy I barely spent any money on him, really. And so, I just wanted to say, like, I think having a good coach, especially over there, matters a lot more than money. Like, all the Saudi backing and the clubs that do spend a lot, if you have a poor coach, there's not going to be any results. So, just want to comment on that.
Appreciate it, Daniel. Yeah. Chelsea did spend a lot of money when they were great, but they also hired the guy they called the special one in Jose Mourinho. So it does matter. Of course, they've hired good coaches or managers, as they're called, in different spots. But as he laid out for you, there are times where you spend a lot of money, it doesn't work. That is a real thing over there in the Premier League. Over here, it particularly in sports where the money is uneven, and that's mostly college sports, the money generally goes out and gets a great coach, and if they whiff, they'll keep trying. Like, if we go by Texas had the money to pay best available coach on the market at times. Now, they may have had something with Nick Saban, didn't work out, but they have tried. Hot name coach. It wasn't the money. Yeah. Those coaches just weren't right for Texas. And then Sark, hot name coach, big assistant from a big school, they appeared to hit on him. So the money is consistent. You just have to make the right decisions. And it looks like Texas has got that decision right. It doesn't always work. And he's right on that.
I guess what I would say is, give me the money and we'll figure out the coach.
Because if you don't have the money, you can't get the coach.
Or the coach will leave.
Yes.
A team with money will just hire your coach away from you.
Then that happens in the Premier League, too. Yeah. A team like Brentford lost their coach. They've been a good team in the Premier League for the last 5-6 years or so. London-based team, I believe. They lost their coach to a bigger club because that club has more money. He'll get a chance if they do well to play in the Champions League. Those opportunities didn't exist at Brentford. So it happens. Over here, there's a different system and all, but money will always matter in everything, I think, as long as you can go get the right people. All right, we're done for the day. Paul Gallant's up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And this is apropos, considering what happened at 11. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. Thank you, Jason Tatum. By the way, it's Jason Tatum. Next time we do that contest, that's Jason Tatum for you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.